And we're back with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will from Italy. Mother, sisters. Oh, hello, Sister Pamela.
So I want to go back, Peter, to what you just mentioned at the beginning about how Luisa was wondering why Jesus didn't speak a word to her. That was also really like interesting when I was reading that that passage, because I was wondering the same thing. Like, I was thinking on my human like nature, right? Like, why is Jesus mean to her, right? Like, it seems he's supposed to save every soul. But then I found another reading from volume 14, June 1st, 1922, when Jesus is before Pilate and what the truth is, and it begins. Finding myself in my usual state, I was following the hours of the passion of my sweet Jesus, especially when he was presented to Pilate, who asked him what his kingdom was. And my always lovable Jesus told me, my daughter, that was the first time in my terrestrial life that I dealt with a Gentile authority who asked me what my kingdom was. And I answered him that my kingdom is not of this world, for if it were of this world, thousands of legions of angels would defend me. But with this, I opened my kingdom to the Gentiles and communicated to them my celestial doctrines, so much so that Pilate asked me, what, you are a king? And immediately I answered him, I am king, and I have come into the world to teach the truth. With this, I wanted to make my way into his mind in order to make myself known, so much so that as thought struck, he asked me, what is the truth? But he did not wait for my answer. I did not have the good of making myself understood. I would have said to him, the truth is I. Everything in me is truth. Truth is my patience in the midst of so many insults. Truth is my sweet gaze among so many derisions, calumnies, contempts. Truths are my affable, attracting manners in the midst of so many enemies, such that while they hate me, I love them. And while they want to give me death, I want to embrace them and give them life. Truths are my words, dignified and full of celestial wisdom. Everything in me is truth. The truth is more than majestic sound, which as much as one would want to trample it, rises more beautiful, more luminous, such as to shame the very enemies and to knock them down at its feet. Pilate asked me with sincerity of heart, and I was ready to answer him, while Herod asked me with malice and out of curiosity, and I did not answer. So to those who want to know holy things with sincerity, I reveal myself more than they expect. But with those who want to know them with malice and out of curiosity, I hide myself. And while they want to make fun of me, I confound them and make fun of them. However, since my person carried the truth with itself, it performed its office also in front of Herod. My silence at the stormy questions of Herod, my modest gaze, the air of my person, all full of sweetness, of dignity, of nobility, were all truths and operating truths. At the last sentence, it amazes me how Jesus, like nothing at all, went unnoticed to him. Like, even if Herod was just asking him out of curiosity, Jesus was inside of him operating those truths to have them available even at the very last moment of Herod's death. Like, obviously, we don't know if he's in hell or purgatory or heaven, right? I'm not someone to judge that. But he was still operating those truths so that if he, at the very last breath of his life, was disposed to take these truths, he could do it. And it's like with Judas as well. Every time, in Maria Valtorta, I love the books because you can, like, Jesus explains to Maria Valtorta how even when Judas was so stubborn and so sinful, he stretched him to his heart and he was loving him and loving him and loving him, even if he knew that he was going to betray him. And it is just something wonderful that I'm just so, like, I can't explain with my human words how happy and how wonderful Jesus is. He's so lovable. He doesn't lose an opportunity to save every single soul. So yeah, it's just the opposite face of how we are supposed to be. Like, we always tend to like, oh, if someone hurts me or someone says something bad to me, we close our heart. Like, we are so, so bad and we don't want to talk to him, or we even like try to take revenge out of these people, out of someone, our enemies. But Jesus teaches us that no, like, just love. That's all you got to do. And yeah, it's just something that I can explain and I can get over it, because it's amazing how he is so lovable with us.
Yeah, thank you, sister. We mentioned before, grace is invisible. We can't see it. And, it's interesting. The whole thing with Pilate is so interesting, too, because many think that he really did believe in Christ, but he was just so caught up, I guess, in his position and his, in the world and in what he was doing at the time. But, Mother, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Pontius Pilate's wife become a saint, I think, at least in the Eastern Church?
She did,
right? Okay. Well, okay. Okay, I thought so.
She had great compassion, you know, and she was trying to talk.
She was trying to convince, yeah.
And to be condemned. But, you know, he had to be condemned. We would not have salvation, you know. So
that's right.
Our Lady, it says, would have said, you know, crucify him, crucify him. If we were at the foot of the cross, we'd be yelling with the people. If we knew what that meant for him to be crucified, that it would open the gates of heaven. We could be in heaven for all eternity. We would have been yelling also, crucify him. So that's what he came to give his life for us, so that we can have eternal life with him.
Yeah. So, and you know, that act by Pilate's wife also is interesting, because she was really trying to correct the error of her husband. You know, and St. James tells us, if we correct, you know, the error in our brother, even one soul, and help, you know, bring them back to the truth, we not only save their soul, but a multitude of others. So again, hence that may have been one of the reasons why she, I don't know why she was canonized, or the specific reasons, but again, I think she had that belief. I think she really knew who Christ was.
Well, in the Passion movie too, I don't know where, Mel Gibson got it. I know he took most of what he got from Anne Catherine Emery, so it may say that in there, but Claudia brought Our Lady the cloth to cover Jesus with in the movie. She presents that too, as she was showing great compassion to Our Lady for what was happening to her son.
Thank you, Mother. Hello, Sister Jacinta.
Hello. So yes, so these knowledges on the divine will are so important to keep on reading and rereading them. And if you finished all 36 volumes, it's really important to just go from the beginning. And when you read it, just say like, Jesus, like, come read in me, Holy Spirit, help me understand what I'm reading. Mama Mary, put me on your lap like a little child and help me understand. In the more, and what I like to read today is from volume 13, August 25th, 1921. And when I read this passage, I felt like Jesus was really like telling me like the importance of the knowledges. And like, and so the title of this passage is, the more knowledge one has about the divine will, the more value his acts acquire. So in this passage, Jesus gives her like an analogy, like a metaphor of a man who has a gem, and the more knowledge he has about the value of the gem, the more richer he is. So I'll just read towards the end of this passage. So Jesus tells Louisa, according to his knowledge of the value of his gem, he becomes richer. He feels greater love and appreciation for the gem. He keeps it in custody more jealously, knowing that the gem is all his fortune. Well, before he held it as a trifle, yet the gem has not changed. That which it was, so it is now. He is the one who has changed by understanding the value that the gem contains. Now, in this next part, Jesus tells for how this also applies with the more knowledges we know about the divine will, the more powerful our acts are. So Jesus continues telling her, now the same happens with my will, as well as with virtues. According to how the soul understands their value and acquires knowledge of them, she comes to acquire new values and new riches in her acts. Therefore, the more you know my will, the more your act will acquire value. Oh, if you knew a sea of graces I open between you and me, every time I speak to you about the effects of my will, you would die of joy and would make feast as if you had acquired new kingdoms to dominate. So it's really important to like keep on like being open to learning more knowledges about the divine will. Because like this man with this gem, the more value we know these acts and rounds in the divine will, the more value we know of doing everything in with and through Jesus, the more value that our acts will acquire. And I'd also like to read something from the notebooks of Maria Voltorta that actually connects to this, because when we do acts and rounds in the divine will, that actually helps us to always think of God and think of Jesus and the divine indwelling within us. So I'm just going to read a little part from Maria Voltorta, the notebooks 1943 from June 22nd. Jesus says, one of the secrets to reach holiness is this, never to take one's mind off a thought which must rule over one's whole life, God. The thought of God must be like a note on which the whole song of the soul is sung. So when we do acts around the divine will, that's helping us to always keep our minds and our hearts and our thoughts on God, because Jesus wants to do everything with us. And the more knowledges we acquire, the more value our acts will have.
Thank you, sister. You know, and also the divine will even quantifies and explicates even Maria Voltorta's message from our blessed Lord when he gives us the instructions on what are the ingredients of an ardent desire. And just really quickly, you know, we must crave his affections and tendencies. Our memory must continuously recall it. Our intelligence must constantly contemplate it. We must be willing to sacrifice our life in order for let the divine will have supremacy over all. We must possess the proper knowledge of it. We must empty ourselves of our will to make room for God's will. And last but not least, we must have peace. So God quantifies, explicates. Article 66 is beautiful. Mother?
I was just reading volume 19, March 19th, 1926. Our Lord was telling Louise, this is my daughter, it is necessary that you manifest this not for yourself, but for the decorum and the sanctity which befit my will. Do you think that all the crafting I have done in your soul for 40 years and more has been only for yourself and for the love I have had and do have for you? Oh, no. It has been, above all, for the decorum of that crafting of decorum of that which befitted my will, so that in coming to reign in you, it would find my crafting, my incessant prayers, inviting it to come, the throne of my works and of my pains, on which it might dominate and form its dwelling, the light of its very knowledge, so that it might find in you its honors and its very divine glory. Therefore, my many manifestations about the supreme will were necessary for the decency that befitted it. And so it's not only for Louisa, like I said before, it's for all of us. This is a gift for all of us. Place yourself in these books. Wherever he's talking to Louisa, he's talking to you. And he wrote these, he had this written for you. He had Louisa write this for each one of us. He loves each one. He would have died on the cross for each one of us. If we're the only one who existed, he would have done all of that just for you, just for me. He's a passionate lover, and he just wants us to passionately love him back. It goes on to say, now you must know that my will is greater and more endless than redemption itself. And what is greater always brings greater fruits and goods. My will is eternal in time and eternity. It has no beginning, nor will it ever end. On the other hand, there'll be an eternal in the divine mind, redemption, at its beginning in time, and was a product of the eternal will. So it was not redemption that gave life to the divine will, but it was my will that gave life to redemption. And whatever has the power to give life by nature and by necessity must become more fruitful than the one who has received it. So everything, his will is greater than everything. He says his will is greater than redemption. His will is greater than creation. is greater than everything, because his will willed everything. His will is greater than his mercy, because his will willed his mercy. His will willed each one of us to be. We talked about it, I think, before that, you know, we always existed in the mind of God from all eternity. We were in his mind. So we all existed with God in the mind of God. You were chosen out of millions and millions of others that who could have been, but he chose you. That's why he wants you to love him passionately. He loves you so passionately that he chose you to be for all eternity with him in heaven. I think now we can go on to the San Marino sisters.
Okay, great, Mother. And just one last thing before we do go. What you just mentioned about, you know, God's will, willing everything. Jesus speaks about that in volume 14, September 11th, 1922. Just again, if you can go there, whenever you have a chance. So let me just bring in San Marino. Ask them to unmute. And we're going to bring them up on screen.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
How are you?
Everything is well. Wow, the connection is good. Thanks be to God.
This is the fresh air on our mountain.
Yes, it must be. It must be. And the divine will placing smiles on your faces. That's just so beautiful. You know, if anyone wants an opportunity to witness the divine will, just look at these sisters smile. I mean, I don't know what you had for dinner. I don't think that's making you smile. It's the divine will every day that keeps us joyous.
God is. Thank you.
All of that. This is the effect of the grace that we receive.
Yes. Yeah. The invisible grace.
Ci meravigliamo da sole.
We are marveled on our own
ourselves.
We're marveled on ourselves. Yeah. Let's not go that far.
No. Oh. I can't start yet.
Okay.
And I was thinking about what the Sister Madalena and also Pamela was telling before. Sister Madalena was telling that it's not important what we do. It's important that we do all the things, also the simple things, in union with God. And sorry, probably there is a problem because
The thing is, they're not muted.
Their mic is on, so we can hear them.
Ah, okay.
Talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I see Pamela's head now.
Yes, I was telling that Madalena or Sister Madalena was telling that it's not important what we do, but it's important that everything that we do, simple things or big things, we have to do in union with God. And if we do this, we can have the experience of the joy. Yes, before we was speaking about our joy, is not something that come from us. It's something that we can receive. It's a participation to a presence. And speaking about presence, really, at the moment when Sister Magdalena was speaking, I was thinking about Sveva. Sveva is a hermit lady of our diocese. And we went to visit her yesterday. She lives on the top of the big hill in our diocese. And at one point, we were speaking about her kind of life, comparing to our kind of life. At one point she said only a few words, but was very profound, touched my heart. Because she said, yes, a community, because she told us that in the past, she had a community life. She had experience in two kind of orders. And also she had a social life. She was teacher, she somehow
musician.
Yeah, musician, she writes. But she say, like each one of us that have a vocation, she say, well, my life was not complete. Something missed. But especially since she was young, she feels this special vocation to be alone with Jesus, really, really alone with Jesus. And but speaking about community, like she say, if a person try to escape from other person, it's dangerous. Something is not good in that person. But since I have an experience of social life, and I feel joy stay with other, it's important to have relation with other, but I feel the special vocation to stay alone with Jesus. And why I'm saying all these? Because at one point she say, love the community life is important, love other people. Yet at one point I arrived to comprehend with myself, comprehend that we have love other people also if they have limits, if they have misery, if they are sinner, we all be a sinner. So it's something that, but she say, we have not to love other overcoming their limits. It's something big for me, eh? Okay, we have to love in any case, every time. She say we have to love other because of their limits. We have to fall in love with that. Yes, it seems that our words, no. In one sense, if I think only from my, before we are telling, what is this joy? It's not my joy, it's something that I receive. So, how can I fall in love with the limit of others? First, I have to be in love with my limits. I have to accept my limits. I have to put my limits under the feet of the cross. And the only way, the truth of this truth is stay with Jesus. If I stay with Jesus, I have to be empty, be nothing, because I have to receive something that is very big, to love others, because when he decided to die, he decided to die when we were in the fullness of our emptiness, of our sinfulness. And if we say, I have to be like Jesus, I have to do the same. There are no other ways. It seems a fabula. How do you say fabula?
It's a fairy tale.
It's a fairy tale. Yeah, it's a conquer. It's a conquer. If I die to my, the first step is I have to die to myself, because if I die, Jesus start to love to live in me more. But to die to myself because of that reason, it's already love them. Because Jesus in the gospel say there is no a big love than to die for other. So if I know I am not capable, but I truly have faith in the Lord. Okay, I want to start to. It's a big joy, big journey. But we have to like Sister Magdalena told before, with joy. Everything that we do, we have to do with joy. This is the real presence in our life of Jesus. And also Sister Pamela speaking about Judah, we have to really love that people. We have to really, it's only a step at the beginning. We have to do an effort to change mentality. It is the first step. And after is only grace. It's not something that comes from us. And I was asking to myself, how can I do this? We know divine will, we know prayer, we know sacrament, we know all these things. But it's a specific way, I think, and is the hour of the passion. And it's something that I remember when I was doing some retreats in the past before entering the religion's life. And the priest told, the first temptation of the devil is to put ourselves far away from the hour of the passion, because without Jesus, divine will are beautiful words. With Jesus, with the united with the humanity of Jesus is true, becoming truth. And I was thinking of this to try to connect all these things that call my attention with my meditation, or I already decide to do my meditation about the hour of the passion, because we are almost near to the land, to land. And so it's important to prepare ourselves to to give more companion, more companion to Jesus, company, no
companionship,
companionship to Jesus is not on. Is not I have to do because I have to do, or is not thinking. Oh, it's very triste.
Sad.
It's very sad. It's difficult because it's sad. No, the point is, give company to Jesus, stay with him, listen his heart, and try to understand what he really did for us. And sometimes when I do the hour of the passion, I try to escape the prayer of preparation, because it's something that, okay, I do my fusion in my desire, and after I quickly go to read the hours, but it's important to meditate the prayer of the beginning and the prayer also at the end of the hour. At the beginning, we can say, oh, my Lord Jesus Christ, prostrate in your divine presence, I implore your most loving heart to assist me as I meditate on the 24 hours of your most sorrowful passion. So the key, the word that attract, call my attention is presence. It's not a prayer where, that we can do for in ourselves, in our silence, in our heart. No, we have to do this in the presence of the Lord, like if we were in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And you say, in your passion, your love drove you to suffer so much in your adorable body and in your most holy soul. It's important to focus in that really, he really had pain. He was God, but he was truly God and truly man. He really had pain. And in that pain, we can contemplate the pains of our humanity, all the humanity. The dead in Turkey of the earthquake, the dead for illness, the aborted fetus, all the baby. He really had these kind of pains, the pains of death. And we are in that pain. And your most holy soul, even unto death on the cross, I implore your help, your grace, and your love to have profound compassion and profound understanding of your sufferings. Compassion, we have to follow Jesus with all our heart. And a profound understanding, we have to follow Jesus with all our mind together, not only the heart, not only the mind, but together, as I meditate in this hour. Because if we have only compassion for God, it's only a moment. Okay, I did my meditation, stop it. But if I really understand with all my mind, I keep the presence of Jesus in all the day, during the day. So it's always present, the suffering of God, not only when I read the hour of the passion, but when I cook, when I go to work, when I have a moment of the usual moment of our life. I offer you my desire to meditate all the hour, even those I cannot observe. Please accept my desire to meditate on all the hours, even when I must sleep or tend to my other duties. So it's almost, we can realize that it's not our job. This is only our disponibility, because all the job is of the Holy Spirit. Because if I meditate the hour that I cannot, it's not my work, it's the Holy Spirit. If I offer myself to meditate when I sleep, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. O merciful Lord, grant that my loving desire united to you may bring your holy blessings down upon us all. I skipped the last part, but the prayer after each hour, it's all about, she say, my beloved Jesus, you have called me in this hour of your passion to keep your company. And I have come with the most touching and eloquent words. It seems to hear you praying, offering, reparation, suffering, and pleading in anguish and sorrow for the salvation of souls. What happens during the Mass? Jesus offered himself to the Father for the salvation of the souls. And she say, I hear your prayer. He is the sumo sacerdote.
The sumo priest.
The sumo priest. So he's praying, giving value to our praying. So I have to realize that he is always in the state of the Mass is always offer himself to the Father. And after, I don't read all the words, but after all is about, I thank you, I love you, I bless you, and bless me. So how can change our mind, this prayer? Thanksgiving. And what is thanksgiving? To stay in front of Jesus, the blessed, is a continual adoration of this blessed sacrament. And also she say at the end, oh my sweet Jesus, press me to your heart, and with your most sacred hands mark every particle of my being with your, I bless you. So if I am continual in the presence of God, I continue to realize that he's offering his life for me, I have to do the same. I have to give company to Jesus in dying out for myself, and I can receive a continual blessing. A continual blessing is to me, it means receiving continual divine life in ourselves. So we really say, oh, I can smile because Jesus is smiling at me. Why? Because he's happy because I stay with him. I give my time for him and for other souls.
Bravo, sister. You know, sister, I have to mention again, I know I've said this, I sound like a broken record, but I'm not trying to flatter you, but I'm just so thankful and so impressed about, you know, English is your second language, and for all the sisters and Tamala also, that English is a second language. I mean, we would never know it. And how blessed are you to have basically two translating thesauruses at your side? I mean, you've got it made. I love it. Not even presidents have that.
I really believe also in the truth of the mystical body. We are also in the presence of my sister, their mind are working. I connect my mind with their mind. So I'm able because of their presence.
You make us sound like we're the Borg.
Yeah. We are in Dalby surround, the English Dalby surround.
Yeah, so it's like a network consensus. I love it. But thank you, Susan, for that.
But the nice thing is that sometimes when I am alone, sometimes in front of Jesus, the Blessed Sacrament, I try to pray to speak with him in English, and they stop me. Why am I speaking you with him?
I love it. Thank you so much, sister.
Well, you know what you were mentioning, and also listening to the other sisters, you know, just about the acts in the divine, doing the acts in the divine will, doing the rounds in the divine will. I think Sister Jacinta was talking about, you know, being in his presence, the divine indwelling. You know, when you read the Passion, when you connect yourself to the humanity of Jesus and everything that he suffered, and I mean, even with all the graces that are attached to it, you know, where a soul is saved with every word if you read it in the divine will. But just reading how much he suffered for us and how much he suffered, for everybody, but then for each one of us personally, you do grow in love for him. Your love grows for him. Your gratitude grows for the divine will and for the everything that he's given us. So then it's your mind thinks more about Jesus. When you fall in love more and more with Jesus, that's what you're thinking about, you know? And so then it's easier to remember him and to be in intimate union with him throughout the day because of your spiritual reading and all of this that you're learning, the learning about the knowledge of the divine will, reading the Bible, you know, all of this comes together. It's like a big puzzle, and like you're putting things together, and the more you put together, you're like, oh my gosh, you're more amazed, and you're more like, oh my gosh, we just have such a wonderful, wonderful God, you know? And so, you know, for me, it's, you know, that's why it is important, the prayer life, because that is your relationship with God. And these are the things that help us to keep that relationship. When we know these knowledges, when we read about his suffering, his humanity and all of this, and then the gift of the divine will and everything put together, you know, your spouse more, you know, he's all of our spouses, you know. I read volume 16, November 10th, 1923. And this is very long. Volume 16, all the passages are very long. So I'm just going to take a little bit of this long passage because there's so much here. But in general, Jesus talks about littleness and he says how important it is. And he was telling Louisa, he said, "My dear little one, I have chosen you little because the little ones let one do with them whatever he wants. They do not walk by themselves, but let themselves be guided. Even more, they are afraid to place one foot on their own. If they receive gifts, feeling incapable of keeping them, they place them on the lap of their mama." Like sister was saying, you know, if I'm doing these acts, I'm doing these rounds, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit that's doing it. You know, it's us being conscious of that. Like, the, you know, you get to where you're realizing you really need God for every moment, for everything. Everything's a grace, you know? So it's, and that's who he wants us to be, little like that. He wants us to be dependent on him for everything. And then he says, "Little ones are stripped of everything, nor do they care about whether they are rich or poor. They are concerned with nothing. Oh, how beautiful the tender age is, full of grace, of beauty, and of freshness. Therefore, the greater is the work I want to do in a soul, the littler I choose her. I like childlike freshness and beauty very much. I like it so much that I preserve these souls in the littleness of their nothingness from which they came. I let nothing of their own enter into them so as not to let them lose their littleness and therefore preserve the divine freshness and beauty from which they came." And this is where he's telling Louisa that he's chosen her to, you know, for that he chose Our Lady for redemption, and he chose Louisa for the Fiat Voluntas Tua, the mission of the Fiat Voluntas Tua. And then he goes on to say, and Louisa's like, "Well, you know, but I'm terrible. I'm bad. How can you choose me?" And he said, "This is precisely why, because, you know," he said, "first of all, you're not bad." He goes, "My little one, badness cannot enter into true little ones," because she was truly little. "Do you know when growth begins to enter? When one's own will begins to enter." So through all of this passage here, he's saying basically littleness is less human will, but more divine will, you know? So the less we do our own will, but only seek the will of God and everything, and then you remain little, you know? So it's even, and we already know, we know God's will in a lot of things, the Ten Commandments, you know, what he teaches us in the Bible, what we learn in the Bible from the Old Testament, how they were disobedient and all of this and the consequences. And then in the New Testament, you know, the new law, how to love one another, you know, to have mercy, to put up with one another, you know, that we're brothers and sisters in Christ and all of this. So we know how we are supposed to treat each other, you know, so these things we know, God's will. And then so he goes on, he says, okay, as it enters, okay, the creature begins to fill herself and to live of herself, and all goes out of the littleness of the creature. And it seems to her that her littleness becomes greater, but greatness to be cried over, since God does not live completely in her. She moves away from her beginning, dishonors her origin, loses the light, the beauty, and the sanctity, the freshness of her creator. She seems to grow before herself and maybe before men. But before me, oh, how she has decreased. So, you know, in the eyes of the world, like I think one of the sisters were mentioning, I mean, you know, the things we do are insignificant. You know, it's not anything spectacular. But in God's eyes, because we're doing it out of love, we're doing it, we're wanting it, him to do it in us. You know, that's what he sees, you know, and that's a great act. Like you said in the beginning, how Mother says, it doesn't matter how big the act, you know, it just matters that you're doing it in divine will. So then he says, because he's talking about someone who's out of his will. So he says, or someone who's not little. He goes, "She may even become great, but she will never be my beloved little one. One whom taken by love for her, I fill with myself, that she may remain as I created her. And I make of her the greatest whom no one will be able to equal." And then he talks about Our Lady because at one point Louisa sees this image of an eagle with two wings. And on one side is Our Lady, and the other side, because she was the co-redemptrix of redemption, because through her came Jesus and there was redemption. And then on the other side was Luisa, the Fiat Voluntas Tua, and she's the secretary of the divine will. And so he's talking about our celestial mama and her littleness. He says, she is the littlest because her will never entered into her acting, but always my eternal will. And this not only kept her little, beautiful, fresh as she had come out of us, but made her the greatest of all. Oh, how beautiful she was, little in herself, but great and superior to all by virtue of ourselves. And only because of her littleness, she was lifted up so high, she was lifted up to the height of mother of the one who formed her. That's amazing. I mean, just to contemplate that. I mean, God's greatness, his humility, his love, his... it's something to really admire and to appreciate and to be grateful for, that he had given us a mother, you know, and that he had lifted her up that high, you know. So you see, all the good of man is in doing my will. All the evil is in doing his own. So then he goes into this, and then he talks about the Fiat Voluntas Tua. This is a good chapter to read, but it's long. But I'm just saying that if you want to go back and just read it, it's November 10th, 1923. And then just quickly, he goes over here when he's talking about the eagle, the wings, and he says, okay, there was the August Queen Mama, from whom descended all the goods of redemption. Oh, how beautiful was her littleness. Marvelous, prodigious, little... prodigious littleness, little and powerful, little and great, little and queen, little with everyone hanging upon her littleness. While she disposes of everything, rules over all, and only because she is little, she enfolds the world within her littleness, making him descend from heaven to earth to let him die for love of men. At the head of the other wing, we could see another little one. And this is where he talks about Luisa and how she is called the little daughter of his divine will, and then Jesus had placed himself in the middle of these two wings, between the two little ones who were at the head of them. With one hand took mine, and the other that of Queen Mama. So Luisa has Jesus by the hand, and she has Our Lady by the hand. And he joined them together, and he said, my little daughters, hold each other's hands before our throne and embrace the eternal divine majesty in your little arms. To you alone, because you are little, it is given to embrace the eternal one, the infinite one, and to enter into him. And if the first little one snatched redemption from the love of the eternal one, so may the second, her hand held by the first, she's being held by Mama Mary, be helped by her to snatch from the eternal love the Fiat Voluntas Tua on earth as it is in heaven. So a mother had mentioned this at the beginning, how Luisa is also our mother too. You know, she is our mother of this mission of the Fiat Voluntas Tua, and she's holding on to Our Lady's hand. So this is a joint mission, a joint effort with Jesus in the middle. So we do have to ask her for help and for her intercession too, because it's through her. You know, she did it all first. She opened up the floodgates for us in the sense that we who were created with original sin. So it's important to always ask for her intercession.
Beautiful. Thank you, sister. You know, sister, you and sister Teresa and other sisters, the word knowledge has come up, and it usually comes up in many of our cynicals. Just really quickly before Sister Scholastica, volume 19, I'm just going to read a couple things. September 9th, 1926, Jesus reminds us, quote, knowledge is not enough if one does not possess the good that very knowledge contains, end quote. So we may think, well, okay, we need the good, but how do we get that? It's really quite simple. In the end, he tells us, he says, quote, first I dispose the soul. Okay, so we do nothing there. Second, I expand her capacity. We do nothing there. And then I give her the knowledge together with the good it contains. We have a little play there, but all we need to do is cooperate. Everything's done for us. It's so incredibly simple that it's complicated. It's a paradox, it really is. Sister Scholastica, you're not a paradox. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Peter. Hello, everybody. The passage that caught my attention this week, it's from volume 13, January 11th, 1922. And I'm just going to focus on the first two paragraphs. Jesus said to Louisa this, "My daughter, the church is my mystical body, of which I glory in being the head. But in order to enter this mystical body, the members must grow to a proper stature. Otherwise, they would deform my body. But alas, how many not only do not have a due proportion, but are rotten, wounded, so much as to be disgusting to my head and to the other healthy members. Now, the souls who live or will live in my will be for the body of my church like skin to the body. The body has internal skin and external skin. And because in the skin, there is the blood circulation which gives life to the whole body, it is by virtue of this circulation that the members reach the proper stature. If it wasn't for the skin and for the blood circulation, the human body would be horrible to the sight and its members would not grow to the due proportion. Now see how these souls who live in my will are necessary to me, since I have destined them to be like skin to the body of my church. And like circulation of life for all the members, they will be the ones who will give the proper growth to the members which have not grown, who will heal the wounded members, and who will restore the freshness, the beauty, the splendor of the whole mystical body by their continuous living in my will, rendering it fully similar to my head, which will sit in the full majesty upon all those members. This is why the end of days cannot come if I do not have these souls who will live as though dissolved in my will. They interest me more than anything. What impression would this mystical body make in the celestial Jerusalem without them? And if this is what interests me more than anything, it must interest you also more than anything, if you love me. From now on, I will give to your acts done in my will the virtue of circulation of life for the whole mystical body of the church. Just like the blood circulation in the human body, your acts, extended within the immensity of my will extend over all and will cover these members like skin, giving them proper growth. Therefore, be attentive and faithful." So I don't know about you, but one thing that really caught my attention with this, I was like, man, Jesus is like really thorough. Like, you know, in other volumes, like, you know, in his infinite wisdom, he needs to explain things to us in everyday language so we can understand. Mm-hmm. But I have to admit, this is one of the ones that he's really thorough and specific. I don't know. I felt like I went to an anatomy class, you know, like listening to all this. But on the other hand, it gives you the show how amazing the human body is. Like we've had so many people, scientists in the medical field talk about that. There's so much we still don't know about the human body, the human brain. And some people can say that, well, you really see how amazing the body is. Well, he explains it to it here. The one thing that I got from this is, Jesus is explaining like what the secret is, in a sense. Like, you know, many times you ask, well, what's your secret? Or like, how is this place like this? Like, what's the secret? That's what I'm seeing here. Like, Jesus is explaining that the secret here is the divine will. It's the souls living in the divine will. He's saying that, like, he uses the human body, the blood is the life essence of the human body, of the mystical body, the church. So the life essence is what? It's blood. Because what also reminded me of that, it was a while ago, I didn't really like, I heard someone mentioning, I think it was a religious site, they were mentioning as an example, why do vampires, like in mythology, why do vampires drink human blood? Why? Why is it that they need it and then they don't survive? They cease to exist? Because he explained, living human blood is life essence for a human. And since they're supposed to be dead, they don't have any life in them. And the only way they can survive, they need to have life essence. So that's why they drink human blood. But again, I'm talking in mythology. This is something I heard, that I heard someone say in the past. So anyway, but then here Jesus is saying that. That's the secret, divine will, like anything else. The whole secret of life in general, of existence, of creation, of everything, the spiritual life. What is the secret? What is the absolute? Is a divine will. And so, and then here he says, so that's the blood. And you need blood to keep the body healthy, to transport all the nutrients or the oxygen or whatever the body needs to the right destination where it needs, where you need grace, where you need to deposit the grace in the whole human body. He explains that, or else without circulation, things decay, things die. It's a continuous like circle of life in a sense. It's continuous, like infinity, like the eternal father. It's infinite, it continues, it never stops. It never will cease to exist because it's a divine will, it's God. But then he says, the souls who practice and who live in the divine will wear the skin. So we're like the vessels in the sense, keeping the blood from falling all over the place. If we think about a body, the skin is what it's keeping us inside of it. Without the skin, we'll just be a puddle on the ground. You know, that doesn't sound pretty, but
big mess. Yeah.
That's a function of skin, if you think about it. That's and also it's the skin is a protection. It's a protection for our muscles, our tendons, and from foreign environment stuff. So in a sense, it's the souls living in the divine will, in the sense they're the ones protecting the church, in a sense. They're keeping the church alive with the divine will. We're also protecting the church from foreign influence, like from demonic attack, if you will. That's like the environmental threat to the human body, diseases, germs, whatever, if you want to think about it that way. And then we're keeping it like all together, because that's the thing. Like we understand that now through Louisa, that is the point of the spiritual life, is that it's the divine will, living in the divine will, becoming nothing and asking Jesus to do everything in us in order for him to fill us. And that way, that's why it's so important in these end times, is that it's a divine will. It's the sanctification, the testament sanctification. That's the most important thing right now, because that's the key. That's the secret to keep things going.
Amen. Yeah, I still can't get that visual of not having skin. We would be a mess.
Sorry to end in that dramatic.
I'm thinking of the sidewalk. Yeah, it would be terrible, ugly. My goodness. You know, you mentioned also secret, and again, it sounds like a broken record, but when we hear the word secret, sometimes we think it has a nefarious meaning, but not in the language of heaven, because Jesus and Mary, they use the word secret, and our Blessed Mother explains to us, what does it mean in the language of heaven? Meditation number one in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. Our Lady states, quote, "For a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding," end quote. So not only is it not nefarious, but it's actually a subtle compliment. Otherwise, God would not be divulging these secrets unless, as our Blessed Mother states here, he did not deem us capable of understanding. So I think that's beautiful. I think the whole day is beautiful. Everything's beautiful. This divine will is just incredible. Thank you all, sisters, for everything. I'm gonna try to go back to the mother house. Do you see Mother Gabriel? I saw her earlier and I sort of lost her. Does anyone see Mother Gabriel?
Yeah, she's right.
Okay. There we go. Okay. So I'm going to unmute Mother and go to her for some final thoughts. Please. Hello, Mother.
Okay, can you hear?
Yeah, perfectly. Thanks.
We've gone way over time, so I'll just say one little sentence here from volume 24. "With these knowledges, I am preparing the renewal and the restoration of the human family. Therefore, on your part, do not place any obstacle and continue to pray that the kingdom of my divine will may come soon." Amen.
Amen.
So we should all pray for that. Okay. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters. Again, move God and ask for the gift, and he makes it simple. I'm going to now manage to allow everyone to unmute themselves and say goodbye to Mother and the sisters. You may do so now.
Hi. Nice to see you.
Bye, Mother, sister. Bye. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you,
sisters. God bless you all.
sisters from Orlando. Thank you. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sister.
Oh, there's him.
Well, thank in the you month.
For etiquette. Bless you all.
Thank you from Canada.
Canada.
Thank you. Well,
thank you from the United States.
Thank you for Taiwan.
Taiwan. Wow. Taiwan.
Hello, Taiwan. Ni hao ma.
Thank you from Ireland.
San Francisco.
Thank you from Orlando.
Thank you from California.
Hi, Charlie.
Thank you.
Currently, Maureen's iPad has left the meeting alert. Donna Capullo has left the meeting alert.
Thanks.
Milagros has left the meeting alert.